We're continuing in Daniel, what they call the 11th chapter, the 19th pasuk. Yashiv panav lemozei artzov v'nichshav anafav lo yimatzei. He will try to return to his fortification. He will stumble. He will fall. He won't make it there. V'amad al kano ma'avir noges heder malchut. And then there's going to be one who stands on his base, and he will remove the oppressor. This is a reference to what's going to happen with the Maccabees. Ma'avir noges. They will remove the one who is biting, the one who is oppressing the Jewish people. Heder Malchut, he will bring back glory of kingship to Israel. Uvyamim achadim yishaver, and it will take a short time for the Maccabees to break the strength of the Greeks. Velo v'apayim velo b'milchama, they will not use the face of another nation. They will not uvyamim achadim yishaver, and it will take a small amount of time for the Jewish kingdom to be broken. Velo ba'apayim, and it won't come from the face of another nation attacking Israel. Velo b'milchama, it won't be an external war that will break the Jews during the Second Temple era. On the contrary, it will be inner fighting. It will be the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, who fight over the throne until they summon the Romans. They bring the Romans into Israel to settle their dispute. They peacefully bring in the Romans, and the destruction of the Jews has been set into motion. At peace times, we bring in the enemy, the Romans. V'amad al kano nivzeh. And then the Romans will strengthen their bases. Now here Rashi has been censored. Rashi writes about the Arameans. It's obviously not what Rashi really wrote, but the censors changed it. Velo natenu alav hod malchut. They didn't give him the glory of kingship. Uva v'shalva, it will be at peace times that he will come. Ve'chazik malchut b'chalaklakot, he will take over the throne through his cunning and deceit, smooth tongue. Now this might also be a reference to Herod, who smoothly worked his way into the rulership. Initially he was a slave. He was sent to lead a battalion. He was sweet with the Romans. And slowly he gained political power and political clout with the Romans. According to one story in Josephus, at one point Herod killed a Jew. And then Shammai the elder wanted to punish him, and he deserved to be executed for his murder. And then the king, I don't remember who it was, I think it was Agrippas, who was king, one of the Agrippas at the time, who came to court together with his slave Herod, and Shammai ordered him not to show up. And the next day Herod showed up with his army to court, and Shammai ordered the army out of court, and that they couldn't judge when there were soldiers standing there with their swords. And Herod said, I'm sorry, it went the other way around. He ordered Agrippas to show up to court. He told, initially Agrippas sent in Herod. Herod showed up with his soldiers. Shammai said, you can't show up to court with your soldiers and weapons. And then he ordered Agrippas to come to court. And then he said, Agrippas, stand up. They will testify against your servant for what he's done. And then Agrippa said, why do I have to stand as people testify against me? And Shammai said, that's the halacha. And Agrippa said, I'll only believe it if the other members of the court tell me what you've said. So Shammai turned to his right, and the men of the court didn't have the guts to say it. They put their heads down. Shammai turned to his left, and the men of the courts put their head down. Shammai said to them, you people, you have political thoughts in court. The one who is in charge of all thoughts should take you all to task for what you've done. And with that, Herod went scot-free. He became so powerful, he ultimately murdered the Asmonean family and went back to murder that whole court. Shammai's curse came true. Shammai had already passed on, but Shammai had wanted to judge honestly, and then Herod would have been executed at that time, because Herod had murdered. But Herod, so that possibly this pasuk speaks about someone who will take the throne through smooth talking, which ultimately brought in the Roman Empire, because Herod's throne was basically based on his friendship with the Romans. Uzrot ha-shetef yishatfu milefanav v'yishaveru. And the powerful ones of the kings will be broken, they will be swept under him, vegam negid brit. And even the Jewish king who tries to make a covenant with him, he will also be wiped out. And that's what our sages say, that initially we made a pact with the Romans, a peace treaty. They were in Israel for 26 years, according to one medrash, according to a different medrash, 100 years, but it was a matter of time till our peace treaty with them crumbled and they took over by force. And when the Jews partner with the Romans, they will deceive the Jews. They won't reveal to them what their real plan is. And they will come and they will overpower Israel, and they won't need a big army because the king of Judea will help the Romans enter. And that's what happened. The Jewish kings brought in the Romans initially, and then they couldn't get them out. Yes?
One time I heard you explain that Shammai was a prophecy, and now you're saying it was a curse.
Okay.
And, was it good?
I don't know. I don't know.
Didn't you say at some point that Shammai had fortified prophecy?
Yes.
It's like a curse isn't necessarily...
Yeah. Because in one place in the Gemara, it's mashma that even Rabbi Eliezer had prophecy. It seems like they had an understanding of what was coming. Yeah.
Prophecy like in Sukkah, Kavchet. Like Hillel HaZaken prophecy, like prophecy,
right.
Prophecy.
Right, that's what it seems like. It seems like they really had an understanding of what's coming. You see that Rabbi Lezer is lying on his deathbed and he starts crying. And he says, Akiva, your end is going to be more painful than everyone else's. How did he know that? You see that Rabbi Akiva sees the wife of Tirnus Raphus, who comes to seduce him naked, and he spits and he laughs and he cries. And it says he spit because she was undressed in front of him. He laughed because he didn't reveal to her, but he foresaw that he would end up marrying her. And he cried because he understood that what the end of that would ultimately lead to. I don't know. Certainly sounds from the Gemara like...
The one about Rabbi Akiva getting killed, Rashi says that was a punishment.
Yeah, but how did he know it?
Oh, you're saying how did he...
It's mashma from the context there that Rabbi Eliezer knew that's what would happen. That's the way it says in Avos Rabbi Nosson. The wording there sounds like he knew it. Bishalva, in a tranquil way, uve mishmanei medina yavo, he will come with the fats of the country. Va'asa shelo asu avotav avot avotav. And he will do what no one before him had done in Israel. He will loot Israel. He will take all the different precious things throughout Israel, and he will give it out to those who favor up to him. And this will bring about a situation where people will turn on the Jews just to get the king's favor. And he will think about how to establish his governors until he takes over all of Israel. And this was the Roman way to slowly take city by city, establish their governors in the city, and in this way they basically took over Israel peacefully, slowly, politically. And then he will arouse his strength and his focus over the king of the south, Bechayil Gadol, with a big army, Umelech HaNegev Yitkare LaMilchama, and the king of the south, I guess that's Egypt downward, will go up to war against him, Bechayil Gadol V'atzum Ad Mod, with an awesome army, V'lo Yamod, and he won't succeed against the Roman king. Why? Ki achshavu alav machshavot, because there will be bribes, and his own officers will be traitors, and they'll turn against him, and they will break him. Ve'ochlei patbago, even those who were sustained by him, yishberu, they will break him, ve'chelo yishtof, and so the Romans will swoop down to the south as well, v'nafelu chalalim rabim, and many people will die at that war. U'shnehem ha'melachim levavam le'meira, the Roman king, and the Jewish king will both be of an evil heart. They will plot together, that's Hyrcanus, together with the Roman king. They plotted against his brother Aristobulus. Aristobulus was king in Jerusalem, and Hyrcanus went and invited the Romans to come with him to take over Jerusalem. They will sit on one table and speak lies. V'lo titzlach ki od ketz lamoed. They won't mind to hurt the Jews, and together they will plot how they will destroy the Jews. The Jewish king Hyrcanus was willing to destroy the Jews at that time, and they believed that they could even destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Hyrcanus was prepared to destroy the Beit HaMikdash to ensure his reign, but Daniel says it won't yet be the time. Remember, Daniel was told there would be 62 weeks, right? So the 62 weeks weren't up yet, the period that the second Beit HaMikdash would be standing. But the Romans will come back to their land with great wealth, and they will keep thinking, how can I annul the Jewish covenant, that holy covenant? He will be successful as he returns to his land. And after a time, Yashuvu Vava Negev, he will come back and attack southward. And he will be successful, and this time it won't be like the previous times. Uvau votziim kitim, and groups will come to fight him. He will have a rebellion within the Roman army. Venicha, and he will have some damage. Vishav is amal brit kodesh vasa, and he will come back to his land, and he'll say, if they rebelled against me as I was going southward, the Jews are behind it. I'm going against the Jews as well. Vishavi avena losvei brit kodesh. And then he will decide the Jews are not keeping their covenant. They're not the holy people that people think they are. I'm going to fight them. And there will be a lot of baseless hatred in Jerusalem. And he will see that the inner fighting has broken the Jews. And that's why he will break his covenant with them. And that's what Josephus records, that the Romans saw that if they leave the Jews alone, they'll be destroyed on their own. The Jews begged the Romans. They said, we're being killed by our own brethren. You take us in. It was so bad, the baseless hatred in Jerusalem, that Jews suffered more at the hands of Jews than they did at the Romans. And Jews initially defected to the Romans because it was worse to be with the Jews. And that's what it says, Vishavi Yavin. The Romans will come back and understand, Alos Vebrit Kodesh, that the Jews have left their covenant, they hate one another. The Romans recognized that they can win. Initially, it wasn't worth their troops. Initially, they said, the fortification of Jerusalem is so great, why should we waste our energies here? And they were contemplating leaving. It wasn't worth their time and their troops. But then they saw there was so much baseless hatred going on inside, they said, we can win this. This isn't going to be a problem. Uzroim mimenu yamodu. So he will send his generals against Jerusalem. V'chilelu ha-mikdash ha-ma'oz, they will desecrate the temple, which was the Jewish strength. V'esiru tamid, they will remove the tamid sacrifice. V'natenu ha-shikutz meshomem, they will place their own idol in the temple mount. They will cause the temple to be desolate. U'marshiei v'rit, the Jewish people who are evil, they go against their covenant. Yachanif b'chalakot, they will be smooth talkers, they will side with the Romans, they will be sycophants, and they will turn on the Jews, which is what happened. The Jewish king joined forces with the Romans. The Jewish king of the time joined forces with the Romans and said, come with me. He felt the Romans would give him the throne again. The Am Yodei Elohav Yechaziku Ve'asu. The remnants of the Jews, those who were kosher, who held on to their covenants, they will hold on to the Torah and they will not leave the Torah. Umaskilei am yavinu larabim. The wise men will try to teach the masses. V'nichshelu b'cherevu v'leava b'shviu v'viza yamim. And they will find themselves exiled and looted and hunted and murdered for a long time. The Jewish people will be exiled, and even though the leaders will try to lead and the righteous will try to teach, the Jewish people are headed for a terrible exile. Remember, Daniel is standing half a millennium beforehand. The second Beit HaMikdash wasn't yet built, and he's being told all this that will happen. Yeah. Not yet, just a second. Let's just read the next pasuk. Uvehi kashnam yazu ezer me'at. And as they stumble, they will have a little bit of assistance, because they will learn that the way a Jew can survive is by bribing. The Jewish way we always call shmearing. The Jews can only survive by shmearing, because the cards are stacked against us. Uvi kashlam is the Jews will stumble. Yazru ezel me'at, they will find a little bit of assistance. And so the masses will follow them in this smooth path, so to speak, where they'll smear the way. Their way of avoiding the persecution will be through bribes. This has been our history. And people will try to figure out when is the Mashiach coming, and they will stumble. And this is part of the purification process the Jewish people have to undergo, this long exile where they won't know when it ends. Ulvarer velalben adet ketz. And this is part of the clear clarification and purity that happens to the Jewish people till the time really comes. Ki od lamoed, because there's still a time till the set time. Yes.
Is that on Pasuk 33 saying about the people that are trying to teach and lead the people? Is this a reference to the rabbis that were murdered, the 11, 12 rabbis that were murdered by the Roman Empire?
According to Rashi, it's a reference to the continuation of Jewish history. It's a reference to Rebbe and the generations that would follow for generations. Meaning from the destruction, now he's telling us a long-term story. The Roman Empire will do whatever they please. The Jews will find themselves under a rulership that has to answer to no one. They will become arrogant and put down every force on the planet and every deity. They will have the gall to speak about Hashem, who is the force of all forces. And they will be successful, because Hashem's anger is there, and until Hashem's anger ends, the Romans will get away with it. And again, the Romans, according to our tradition, became the Christians. So he's saying, yeah, they're going to keep telling you what it says in Tehillim. Where's your God? How come we're getting away with this? Like that famous picture of the Nazi standing over the Jew beating him, and the Nazi was telling the Jew, tell me you're the chosen people now. So, v'itzliach, Daniel is told he will succeed ad kalazam, till the anger ends, ki nechratza nesata. Because Hashem has decided that there's a decree and it has to end, and until it ends, Hashem's going to let this go on. He won't be willing to recognize that Hashem is the God of the forefathers. And he won't recognize the beauty of the most beautiful of women, which is a metaphor for the Jewish people. And he won't recognize that Hashem is different than all the deities. Because he's going to be too busy being arrogant and saying that he's greater than anything. And you try telling him, but the Jews are different, you should respect them, you should value them, he's not willing to hear. You tell him, but Hashem is different, he's not willing to hear. The gods that the nations who are powerful, those are the gods he will honor because he will try to make peace with them. Gods who his forefathers never recognized. He will honor with gold and silver and precious stones because this is part of his method of expansion. And some people wanted to say that this is speaking about Christianity, that wherever they went in order to penetrate the culture, they adopted the gods and the holidays of that culture. So Christianity ended up adopting Halloween, which was a custom of a certain pagan cult, and they ended up adopting everywhere they went. They adopted the parts of the beliefs of that place. That's this pasuk that says they honor the gods of the people who have power, meaning the method of expansion. That's why he refers to the Roman Empire, which our tradition is it became a code for the Christian Empire, that they honor in a deceitful way, because their method of honoring is, let's break into that religion by adopting things, and then we will become close enough to them that they will smooth talk them into our religion. Yeah.
Is this Christian Empire until today to exist? Because until recently, like the Catholic Church had a huge power, but today it doesn't have like a political power like it used to be.
I don't know.
And the world. South America, they have some power.
I come from South America. They don't.
They don't have power over life and death. Is there a reason for that?
And it's getting.
I'd like to think that this is part of the idea that we're in a very good era. I'd like to think that. I hope that's true.
And then what would be the implications of that if the Jews of this era lost the whole temple?
I think we always have to work on Sinat Chinam. However, I also think that this past decade has been a very positive decade for us. We've had our weak moments, like the expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif. However, in a more nationalistic sense, we're evolving in a very positive direction on many, many fronts. Many fronts. One of the powerful forces was Rav Steinman Zatzal. And that deserves a discussion in its own right. Rav Steinman was a very powerful force in his quiet way of uniting Am Yisrael. And he made... Correct. And he made tremendous changes in the society that's called Haredi, the Haredi society. And I think that we're getting much closer than we ever were. I think we're... I shouldn't say than we ever were, because we used to be close. Meaning this divide that happened 30 years ago, I think is coming back and closing again. I think that more and more we're seeing that the Sinat Chinam is dissipating. And I have to say that I think one of the people who also gets a lot of credit for it is Netanyahu. saying, I'm very saddened by certain things that are happening in our nation. But I think that all in all, there's a lot of positive that's happening. A lot. I think we're in a much better place today than we were 20 years ago. We're not yet where we should be. We still got a lot of work. But I think we're improving a lot.
Even with the separation, the movements like in Ashdod and so on, to like a citywide level or a regional level to break Shabbat.
Right. We're not where we should be yet. We got a lot of work to do. Saying there's it's also difficult to gauge. What do you look at when you gauge? Do you factor in but do you factor in the tens or hundreds of thousands of Jews who are barely affiliated? Where do they fall into this? Who are you going to count when you calculate where the Jewish people are holding? It's a tough call. We're thinking about the Jews in the state of Israel. There's all Jewish people outside the state of Israel. So we always have to work on Sinat Chinam. That's our challenge. It's a very difficult challenge. So you have to stand up for certain things. Moshe Rabbeinu did stand up to Korach, saying, and he was right in standing up to Korach. There are lines where you can't cross those lines. However, we also have to recognize that many of the people who cross those lines are innocent. The average Jew, the average Reform, conservative, open Orthodox Jew, doesn't know any better. It's like they really don't know any better, and there's no reason to hate them. I wouldn't say that. I think that there is a line that a person crosses when they're endangering the Jewish people or the Torah, and there comes a point where the Torah says that's sona'acha, that should be your enemy. The Torah does say there's a line that a person crosses.
But what situations would you say that would be innocent? Like if you meet a Reform rabbi who's
from the Sinai? I'd start differently. I think that there are two sides to the coin. Number one, the mitzvahs we should focus on and we should be busy with are the positive mitzvahs. If we happen to be where we have no choice and we have to deal with such a scenario, then we deal. But in general, that's not what we're looking for. Meaning, we're not looking for the fights. We're not looking for who should I hate. We're looking for how can I see the good in this person? How could I work with this person? How could I help this person do tshuva? Are there people who you say, what can I do? The poor guy has gone off the deep end. There are. You don't say, if a person's walking around trying to kill people, you don't say, let's love him, let's hug him, and let's just be confident that he won't draw his knife on us. We say, he's a danger. So just like there's a physical danger, there's a physical menace, and sometimes you have to recognize this person is a menace and a danger to society. There's also a spiritual menace and a spiritual danger. Just like we can understand that there are people who can walk around with a knife or a gun and be dangerous to all of society, and you want your kids to be able to walk on the streets and be safe, there are also spiritual menaces. But again, our first choice would be to rehabilitate. Let's help the person recognize their mistakes. Sometimes people are so far off, there's nothing you can do. Most of the time, most of the people are making honest mistakes. And if you work with them, they'll come back. But there are exceptions. And there are people who reaches a point where what can you do? There are people who are trying to tie the hands of our soldiers. There are people who are trying to endanger the lives of our soldiers. So now you're going to say, let me be nice to them. What do you mean be nice to them and risk the lives of all these children? Saying when a soldier goes into Jenin and he can't shoot, that rabbi who was stabbed to death 3 weeks ago, that same Arab came to that same bus stop a day earlier and cursed out the Jews. And a soldier was there and he beat up a Jew and the soldier wasn't willing to do anything about it. Because it's a problem. So I'm saying, so when people... You can't always say these people are just innocent, mistaken souls. sometimes people do actions that actually risk people's lives.
You're supposed to hate. I'm saying when we said we mentioned hate. I'm saying is that the subject of people that you mentioned about?
There is a line that people cross where the Torah says that's so na'acha, the person you hate. The Torah says
is
that.
Is that the murderer or is that also the people endangering the lives of the soldiers?
It can be. I'm not going into who it should be because I rather not focus on that. Have we learned how much we should love people and work with them and help people? The fact that such a concept exists, we should know such a concept exists. Where do we delineate that? How do we delineate that? That deserves a private talk. It's too dangerous. We have to recognize that there does exist such a concept. Avei Hashem, sinura. Those who love Hashem have to also hate evil. There is a concept of hating evil. It's not just loving good. There has to be that ability. When my children asked me if I was faced with a terrorist who was about to kill people, would I be willing to choke him with my bare hands and kill him? My answer is yes. How could you do it, Abba? How could you kill a person with your bare hands? I said, well, if it's that or I'll kill other people, don't you want me to be able to kill him with my bare hands? So they said, yeah, we want you to be able to, but how could you? How could you kill someone with your bare hands?
on the back to the Christian idea about that they were adopting holidays, Islam is less, but I'm saying in Mecca with the rock, that's textbook Markulis, right? It's not part of the Islamic religion.
What are you trying to say with that?
I'm saying just like Christianity adopts the Halloween.
Ah, okay, could be. I don't know enough about it, I hear.
Right, less, but you know,
that's why
it's stronger.
Pasuk Lamed Tet, Vasa.
How much did it grow in 500 years? 500,000 from being the same numbers as the Christians that existed for 2,000 years.
It's a very interesting point. Wow.
That's in 500 years old? Yeah, no.
Gentlemen, we're almost done. Let's finish the book.
In 25% time, they expected compared to the Christianity, the growth of
75%
of Islam. Lemivtzerei ma'uzim.
Okay, so then Ampam is, 800 years?
Ish.
ועשה למבצרי מעוזים עם אלוה נחר. He will make together with his fortifications foreign deities אשר הכיר ירבה חבוד. Those who sweet talk him will get a lot of honor. ואם שילם ברבים, he will give them rulership over the masses, ואדמה יחלק במחיר. And he will give them cheap real estate. He will give them real estate for cheaply. He will give them lands. Uveetkets. And then, as the redemption comes, as the end of the as the end time approaches, yitnagachimo melech hanegev, the king of the south will fight with him. Veyistaer alav melech hatzafon, and the king of the north will pounce upon the king of the south. Berechev ufarshim uvoniot rabot. With a lot of chariots, with a lot of ships, uvav haratzot v'shataf v'avach, he will come through many territories as he swoops down upon him. Uvav be'eretz atzvi, and he will come into the chosen land, into the land of Israel. V'rabot yikashelu, and many will stumble. Many will stumble. Who's he talking about? Someone say it means many countries will be taken by him. Now, some want to say this is the description of World War II, where the war around Africa, the war between the Axis and the Allied forces, was fought. A lot of it was fought around here and in Northern Africa. So the Kingdom of the South and the Kingdom of the North. They will flee from him, Edom, Moab, and the beginnings of the people of Ammon, whatever that means. He will take control of many countries, and Egypt won't escape. He will take control of the sources of gold and silver, uvechol chamudot Mitzrayim, and all the precious things of Egypt, vilubim v'chushim b'mitzadav, and the different nations of Africa will be part of his path. Ushmuot yevalu mimizrach u'mitzafon, and he will hear things coming from the east and the north, and they will scare him. He will come with a great wrath, and his goal will be to convert and destroy masses. He will plant his tents between the seas and the mountain of the Beit HaMikdash. His end will come, and he will not get the help that he expects to get. He won't get the help he expects to get. So that you guys can think about how that plays out in World War II, if that's the interpretation here. And now we end the book of Daniel. When that time comes, Yamod Michael Asar HaGadol, the great angel Michael will stand, Ha'omed al b'nei amecha, who stands upon your people. Vaita etzara shelo nita miyot goy ad etahi. It will be a terrible time that never happened to the Jewish people from their existence until that time. And that's what people argue happened at the Holocaust, that the Jewish people never suffered in their history like they did at the Holocaust. That's our hope, that that was a fulfillment of this prophecy.
You mentioned that the 10 tribes, the exile was worse than the Holocaust.
Yeah. And many people argued with me when I said it. I got a lot of...
You with the shot of the what you
kind of... I have no idea. I said, people say, I don't know. Uva'et ahi yimalet amecha kol hanimtza katuv basefer. The pasuk says, whoever is found written in the book will escape. Who is found written in the book? So... does this mean Hashem's book of who will live out that year? Or Rashi suggests it means whoever was alluded to in this book. This book is the book that says who's going to escape at the end of time in the final war. And the masses who are sleeping in the dust, the dead, will come back to life. Some will come back to life, and some will be thrown back to death, to eternal shame, if you want to call that. V'amaskinim yaziru kezor harakia, those who were smart enough will shine at that time. U'matzdikei rabim kakochavim le'olam va'ed, and those who gave righteousness to the masses, they will shine like the stars. V'ata Daniel, as the book comes to a close, the angel tells him, you Daniel, sitom ha'devarim v'chatom ha'sefer, seal up the message, seal up the book, adet ketz, till the time comes. Because if people know how long it's going to take, they might not be able to handle it. Yeshotetu rabim v'tirbe adat, when the time comes, the masses will be living in Israel, and there's going to be so much Torah learning in Israel. And then I, Daniel, saw two others standing, on the two sides of the river. He said to the man dressed in white that's on top of the river, till when will it end, all these amazing things? I heard the man, he raised his right and left hand up to heaven and took a vow in Hashem's name. Ki, where is he? Tell El Natan, our final clue in this book. Lemoed moadim v'chetzi. Time, times and a half. Time, times and a half. We had a very similar thing said before, right? Uchechalot. And when the power of Israel will be wiped out and it'll seem like they're completely annihilated, that's when all of this will come to an end. I heard him and I couldn't understand. What did he just tell me? I said to him, Master, what did you just tell me? When is it happening? and he said to me, Daniel, go. He said, Tumim v'chatumim advarim adet ketz. What I told you is going to be sealed until the time really comes. Then you'll understand what I said. Yitbariru. Then they will be clarified. V'itlavnu v'itzafu rabim. What's going to happen is the masses will work hard to understand it. V'irshiu v'sha'im. People who are wicked will miss the interpretation. V'lo yavinu kol resha'im ha'maskilim yavinu. The wicked won't be able to figure it out. But the wise ones will. They will catch on. Hey, something's changing. And according to Rashi, this means that the time will come of redemption and many people won't catch on the redemptions here. Rashi says a scary idea. Hamaskirim yavinu. Rashi seems to say the redemption can come and people will miss it. What a scary Rashi. And we end the book. And from the time there will cease to be a sacrifice brought on the Temple Mount, and there will be a defiled presence there. Yamim elef matayim v'tishim. There will be 1,290 days or years, however you want to interpret that. 1,290. Ashrei amcha kevi'agia. Praised is he who will wait and make it to that time. Liyamim 1,335. It will be 1,335 years. Wait a second, you just told me 1,290. Now you added 45 years. So our sages say that the Mashiach will show up and then disappear for 45 years. That's what the Chabadnikim keep quoting. That the Rebbe can still be Mashiach. I don't know what will happen after 45 years. But that's what... But that's what it says. This is the source for what they're saying.
25 years, right?
Vata lech laketz. You will go to your end, Daniel. V'tanuach. And you will rest. V'tamod legoralcha. Leketz hayamim. And you will know that you will come back up to your lot at the end of time, as he was told that at the end of time, the righteous will still come back. There will be a Tchiyat HaMetim. And this is one of the powerful sources for Tchiyat HaMetim in Tanakh. It's written here. That's what we saw earlier, and that's what we see now. And with that, the book of Daniel ends. And if we didn't understand everything, well, we weren't supposed to understand everything. As we began the book, we learned that Yonatan ben Uziel wanted to translate it. And we have a little bit of a background for the book of Ezra. But now we have to move on to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah to gain background for the book of Esther. We're not done yet. We know from this book, we'll get to you in a minute. We know from this book that a focus that evolved during the exile of the second Beit HaMikdash, of the first Beit HaMikdash, was the recognition that we're on course for a very long-term plan. And the idea that the non-Jews knew, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Daryavesh, Koresh, Achashverosh, everyone knew these things. If they didn't know the end of the book of Daniel, they knew the beginning of the book of Daniel, because that was publicized. So everyone knew about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Everyone knew about the letter Nebuchadnezzar sent out. The vision Nebuchadnezzar had. Belshazzar's hand that wrote on the wall. The story of Daniel from the lion's den. And they knew where the world was headed. And this is going to be the obsession of Achashverosh. Are the Jews still the chosen people or not? Am I headed to the Mashiach or not? Can I develop an empire that will be eternal or not? And so Achashverosh is obsessed, just like Nebuchadnezzar was. What do I do with these Jews? And now, in order to get a better understanding of what's going on, we will move on to the book of Ezra, which is called by the non-Jews Ezra and Nehemiah. We call it one book, the book of Ezra.